cancer. Cancer, like schizophrenia, is hundreds of diseases. So how could it be possible to develop a vaccine to combat them all? Well, that's what Stefan Johnson is trying to do in Phoenix at the Arizona State University. But why?
I'm sure you've been told this before, but a vaccine for a cancer is okay, but for most cancers sounds wildly ambitious. How come?
Well, actually, all cancer vaccines to date, except for the ones against infectious agents like HPV and hepatitis B, have been therapeutic. They've been after the fact, and that's probably why they haven't worked. So we just decided to take a little different approach, and that is give the vaccine before you would get the cancer, just like an infectious disease. It's a really simple concept.
But given that there are so many different kinds of cancer, how can you have a universal agent?
Because all cancers, it turns out, make some of the same mistakes. There's enough overlap between them that if you find the composite of all the things that they have in common, which we think probably will be less than 10 things, and you put them all together, you will anticipate any cancer that would turn up.
What particularly are you homing in on at the moment?
Well, they're called neoantigens. What they are is because cancers, in order to be a cancer, they have to relax all their quality control systems for the proteins they make. They end up making some really junky proteins, and those are very immunogenic. And so we've honed in on these pieces of junk peptides that they make.
So if you home in on that, how would your vaccine actually work?
So we take 10 of these junk peptides, and we put those together into a vaccine. And we would just administer that vaccine before anyone would have those tumors. And it has to be before. And then once you start the tumor, your immune system is already seeing the antigens that the tumor would present and would kill it, just like it does for an infection.
The great thing about the immune system is obviously you can't have an unlimited number of agents that would knock any germ or any infection or any malfunction, but instead you can get some sort of code as to what it is, and the body goes off to manufacture the right antigen, if you like, and say, here is the weapon that would work, but you've got to be in time.
That's right. It has to be before the tumor presents that antigen to the immune system, because that's why therapeutic vaccines haven't worked. Once the tumor presents that antigen, it basically starts to turn the immune system off to those same antigens. Mm-hmm. And that's why an infectious disease vaccine only works if you give it before the tumor. If you try and give somebody a vaccine after the infection started, it almost never works.
Have you got anything that you can actually put into experimental trials yet?
Yeah, we've been through preclinical trials, so this is in animal models, and have our candidates lined up. So what our next step is to put it into a dog. It's real cancer prevention in dogs.
But then what do you do? Just wait for the dog to get something like a cancer and find out that it doesn't, or do you induce cancers in some way?
No, this will be a real test. So we'll give it to dogs that don't have cancer, and then wait to see whether the vaccine prevents cancer. Now, we actually have invented another thing. So we've invented a system where we can take a drop of blood and tell whether an animal has a cancer much, much earlier than waiting for a standard diagnosis.
So how's the experiment going so far?
So the dog trial, we hope to start this spring. And we've got the immunosignaturing technology in place so that it should shorten the trial.
I must say, Stefan, on your door you've got an editorial from Nature saying that this work should not happen, plus your reply. What did you think when you opened the journal Nature and saw yourself being maligned in this way?
I sort of knew it was coming because the community generally thinks that this is not worth pursuing because it can't be done. It's interesting. It's evolved. At first they said it couldn't be made. The vaccine couldn't be made. Generally the community now says it may be able to be made, but you never could test it in enough time and low enough cost to make it practical. And that's a legitimate concern. But I think we've invented ways to get around that. Our contention is that it's easy to say not to try something like that, but I think it's actually a fault of the community. We're the only ones trying to do this. Somebody should have tried to do it, even if it doesn't work, just because the benefit would be so great if it happened to work.
And when you replied to the journal Nature in a letter, what was the response from your colleagues around the world?
Most of them said it was a good thing I replied, but I think most of them weren't convinced that it's still going to work.
Do you mind being an outlier?
No, in fact, I mean, why go into science if you just do the things that everybody expects to work? So I teach my students, I say, always look for two things to do if you're a scientist. One, look for the infinity experiment. That is an experiment that no one else has ever done before, so you can make an infinite contribution. And then the other thing is look for contrary experiments. If everybody's going off and doing certain things, then you might as well look for something that is the opposite of what everybody else is doing and just do it anyway.
And of course the payoff is fantastic if you're right.
If you're right. It's hard to get funded, but if you're right, the payoff's good.
Stephan Johnson is co-director of the Center for Innovations in Medicine, Arizona State University.